Welcome to the Inner Trends Podcast. Welcome to the future of mobility. Simply stay on track.
Welcome to a new episode of the Inner Trends Podcast. My name is Britta Walters, and our today's guest is Christoph Rocasera, CEO and founder of Talano. Talano is a cleantech startup which specializes in sustainability. Their goal is to reduce particulate matter generated by rail traffic. How this exactly works, we'll find out in a moment. First of all, I'd like to welcome Kerstin Schulz, director of Inner Trends, on the show. Kerstin, welcome. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Britta?
Oh, very fine. Thank you. Well, Kerstin, a few more months to go until the railway industry meets again in person at InnoTrends. Until then, we want to keep the community updated with the latest news from InnoTrends and provide insight into current industry topics. We do that here on this podcast, of course, but also in the InnoTrends report. Could you explain, for those who don't know the report, what is it exactly?
In the addition to the regularly updated press area, our press service also includes the InnoTrends report. It is an industry magazine now in its 18th year already. It's available in English and French and in German as an e-paper and within the InnoTrends report app. Current information about developments in the rail industry, innovative new products, and background details about transport policy, you can find all things there which the InnoTrends report provides to its readers. Meanwhile, we have more than 110,000 readers. It's published four times within the InnoTrends year and two times in between.
I see. The latest release has recently been published. What are the main topics of the current issue?
Each report has a special focus, and the focus at this report is on the segment public transport, with like e-ticketing, ID-based ticketing, e-buses, or fully automated passenger information systems, new seating system. Stadler talks about hydrogen-powered train for passenger transport in the U.S. Then a big issue is cybersecurity. I'm very, very happy that we've got Milko Ross, the expert for cybersecurity, for an interview. He talks about how intermodality requires a high degree of interconnection between the different actors, what vulnerabilities are created by data sharing, and how to make e-ticketing as secure and trustworthy as possible. Then we are looking forward to welcome again the Women in Mobility Network at InnoTrends. They take care that women get a better visibility in the mobility sector and can do better networking together. And there is much more to explore, so just read yourself.
Quite a good variety of topics. Sounds really interesting. Yeah. Where can I find the report? Do I need to subscribe somewhere?
Yeah, you can subscribe on the website, or you just go to an app store.
Okay, so that's easy. Yeah. What other sources of information do we offer at InnoTrends?
For instance, the InnoTrends Daily. So you can stay up to date during the 4 days of InnoTrends. So during InnoTrends, the official daily can be easily downloaded as a PDF within the InnoTrends report app. And during the entire duration of InnoTrends, it informs all readers about the main topics of the exhibition, innovations, and product highlights, as well as relevant events. Every morning, the InnoTrends Daily will be sent out to all registered exhibitors and visitors as a newsletter. It will also be available for download on the InnoTrends website. And you know what? At this point, we want to thank D4V Media Group, Eurail Press, for being our exclusive media partner for such a long time, doing the InnoTrends report and the InnoTrends daily.
Yeah, well, that is true. Well, we see there are various possibilities to stay updated and to learn more about the innovation of the railway industry. Thank you, Kerstin.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Now I'm very pleased to welcome Christoph Roccasera, CEO and founder of Talano, on the show. Mr. Roccasera, welcome. How are you?
Very fine, very well. And you? Very pleased to talk with you, and it's an honor to be invited.
Thanks for joining. Well, in this podcast, we talk about the future of railway. But before we do that, I think it's always helpful to take a look back to see where we are coming from. I noticed that the fascination for railway is often rooted in the past. How about you? Where does your fascination for railway come from?
It's a very old memories. My grandfather was a railway man. He worked with for SNCF, the national French national rail operator. And it took me a long, long time ago. It was, I guess, in 1969. To see the last journey, the last trip of a steam train on the line. And it was an incredibly moment because of vibration, because of sound, because of the feeling of power we could have. So it was just amazing. And for a young boy of something around 5 years old, it was just incredible.
So in terms of sustainability, of course, steam locomotives is not state of the art, but things have changed, of course. Well, sustainability, of course, is also a big issue nowadays in railway. And what Talano does is very specific. You focus on the particles being emitted during braking. How did you come up with this idea?
I came with this idea through the automotive industry. First, it was dedicated to road transportation. Just as you know, I'm sure that today we have a real topic within the European large urban district with a quite poor air quality and very high level of particulate matter concentration. So, a significant part of the emission of particulate matters for automotive and road transportation is coming from brakes. So we try first to develop a solution dedicated to automotive, then to AV vehicles, and at the end also for the rail, both for urban trains, subways, especially because it's quite important when you are in confined environments because ventilation is something which is quite tricky and you have a quite significant level of concentration of particulate matters within the air, which is, as you know, something which is not something very interesting for the public health today. We know the consequences of those particulate matters concentration. So we wanted to develop an efficient and affordable solution to try to answer and to solve this problem at the end. So this is what we did. And the reason why we created the company, it was quite a long time ago in 2012, but it's an industrial process, so it's quite long. And we started from zero. So today we have an efficient solution. We reduce this pollution about 90%, which is an interesting way to say that we bring a real industrial solution.
You mentioned it already a little bit. From an environmental point of view, why is it so important to reduce particles emitted during braking? Why is it such a big issue?
Yeah, we know quite well today the consequences on human health. We know today that there is a link in between those particulate matters released by brakes and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. So regarding the situation, it was very important to find a solution. We also know that there is a link with cardiovascular disease today and with cancer. So a break release, but metal particle matters, and I mean your body is not prepared to receive that kind of pollution. The smallest those particle matters are, the most harmful they are. And for particle matters released by break, it releases particle matters in between PM 15 to PM 0.01. So it means the size of a virus. So it goes very deeply within your body. This is a reason why we absolutely wanted to have an efficient solution for this problem.
And in which way does your technology work? In which way can it help to reduce these harmful particles?
We reduce this emission at source. So it means that we modify the brake pads and we aspirate, we suck directly within the pad at source. So it means by doing this way, we minimized the dissemination of particulate matters within the air, and we reduce the health issue of this pollution. And once more, we're doing both for road transportation and for rail today. So we are testing our solution on commercial traffic today in France with SNCF. It's also a collaboration with Région Île-de-France, which is the Gros Paris district. And normally, the test should be over and finalized at the end of this year. And we hope to be able to deploy the solution quite rapidly.
And is the technology already in use in other areas, in public transport?
For public transport, we have today a collaboration in China with the subway of Shanghai. Unfortunately, as you can imagine, because of the pandemic and because it's quite difficult to travel and to commute, it takes much more time. We have been selected also recently by the city of Seoul. So we were very proud. We received a prize from the city of Seoul and the subway of Seoul. And we hope once more, when the border will be open, to be in a position to travel and to go to visit our colleague in Korea and to deploy also the solution for the subway of Seoul and maybe other trains or subways in Korea.
So innovative technology from France to Asia, very interesting. I wonder, are there differences as to how the technology works when it comes to different modes of braking, for example, an emergency brake?
It works in all conditions. But we know that by definition, emergency brake is quite... it's much more rare. I mean, the real topic also for us was to be able to reduce this pollution in every condition on day-to-day basis, but also for emergency brake. So, I mean, it works in every condition. As you can imagine, it has been tested in all condition, with weight condition, high temperatures. I mean, this is the reason why we have been allowed to be on a train today in France on commercial traffic today on day-to-day basis. So with passengers within the train.
I see. So I heard that the technology is also helpful for the maintenance and overall durability of trains. Why is that? Can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, of course. Because we suck directly within the pads, we can measure the temperature and the depressure within our device. So it means that we have a vision which is interesting on the fact that you will have to change your pads or not. So in terms of predictive maintenance, which was not the topic to be honest, at the beginning. But we have a service we can bring to the market to give a clear idea at each moment about which part do you have to change or not. So in terms of cost, also it means that we can have something interesting to bring to different rail operators.
You mentioned earlier that you founded your company in 2012. If you look back, what are your key learnings when it comes to building a startup in the railway industry?
many things. As you can see, I'm not a quite typical startupper. I'm not 25 years old, I'm just a little bit more. So with my experience, I mean, it's interesting. I guess that it's very difficult, especially for when you're not on digital industry, to try to imagine the development of your company for the 10 next years, which is crucial for industrial company or industrial or engineering company like ours. Just to be clear and to be honest with you, I'm not sure that if at the beginning I had the idea to have something for the 12 next years, I maybe have changed my mind and do something else. I'm not coming from the transportation industry. I'm coming from the financial services industry. So the conception of time is not exactly the same. So you have something which is you work for the next 2 or 3 seconds for the financial services industry and for the 20 or 20 next years for the rail industry. So it's totally different, but it's very interesting.
So you just started and things kind of turned up. Do you have some advice for other startups or young companies, let's say, in the railway industry?
You have to believe 100% that what you're doing is something which is crucial and very important. I mean, this is the only way to wake up every morning and to try to bring something new to an industry which is an industry once more existing since 200 years. Which faced in the past many innovation, many new developments, and which had the capacity to innovate by itself and do not wait for a startup like ours. I mean, I think that it's quite usual for transportation industry to work with startup for softwares, for example, but for the hardware, it's not exactly the same.
So what are the main challenges for a company like yours to find a market for a new product in the railway industry? Is it, as you said, to find a partner, or how do you do it?
Yeah, we made the choice at the beginning to be a pure engineering company. So we are purely fabless, and we are working and developing relationship with tier one suppliers. And this is something which is not so easy for a startup. When you are a company with 20, 25, 30 employees, and when you start to work with a company with 100,000, I mean, it's sometimes a little bit difficult for both sides. It was, I'm sure, difficult for the company we're partnering with, as it's quite difficult for us. But I mean, it's crucial and very important because you learn a lot. I mean, the cross fertilization in between those very big industrial groups and small and small company like ours is something which is, you produce a lot of added value when you're successful and when you create that kind of relationship with very big and very large company. Your way of thinking is totally different, and their way of thinking is totally different. But I mean, if you make the effort, and if they make the effort, I mean, the result at the end is very interesting.
The result is interesting, and in the end, I mean, it's innovation and the good idea. I mean, that's key, I guess, right? So I wonder, where do you go from here? Are you thinking about using your technologies in other areas, or are you working on something completely different for the railway industry?
Oh, no, we have many, many other applications in other industries. As you probably know, within a lift, within a building, you have a brake. So you use friction brake. So, I mean, we have so many applications, totally different, that I think that we can have an interesting future for the next, let's say, 20 next years. So we have many, many, many projects, and we are very happy. I mean, sometimes I have to ask to my engineers to go slowly and not to be so creative. I mean, you have to deliver at the end.
I see. So we're hopefully going to see some of it at InnoTrans in September. But thank you, Mr. Rockesera. That was really interesting. Thanks for joining us here on the InnoTrans podcast.
Thanks for inviting. It was a real pleasure.
Well, next month, we'll be back with new guests and new stories. Have a great day. Stay tuned.